to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. We welcome back fine guest, Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, one of my favorite Packer fans. Welcome back, Harvey.
Hey, Harvey.
Thank you. And I'm so glad you said it was Tuesday. I was starting to think it was Wednesday today.
Were you? I often lose track of the days. I've got it up above my head. They actually have the day on the clock so I can keep it straight.
Good.
It is very Tuesday, good. Right?
Yes, it's Tuesday. We'll stick with
that. Now that you mention it, yeah.
Harvey.
Mom, I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, man. Good to see you.
So, Harvey, nice. I got to ask you, most importantly, what do you think the Packers' chances of winning the Super Bowl this year are?
You know what? A few weeks ago, I told, I'm going to name drop, I told my friend Bill Moyers that he said to me, so what do you think of the Packers' chances for the Super Bowl? And I said, well, I think we'll have a fun season. I can't guarantee anything. However, I think I like these young guys. I like the spirit on the team. I know that Rodgers was complaining, but I don't know. Maybe it's because football's here now and I'm feeling really good about it. So I think there's a good chance. I really do.
And Harvey, do you agree with me that the Bears still suck? We do play out on WCPT 820 AM. So consider your answer.
I will tell you, my wife has a theory. She watches sports avidly. And she said, it's always good when a team picks up a player from an antagonist team. And I'm forgetting now who it is, but we have somebody from the Bears now, correct?
Got to see the final roster before I believe it.
No, that's true. That's true. But I'm thinking if that's the case, because what it is she says those folks, they play for revenge. And I figure, you know, if you got a good spirited team and you have one guy playing for revenge, you're okay.
All right, man. Well, let's talk about playing for a little revenge here in the great state of Wisconsin. Harvey, have you been watching the political campaigns unwind? I mean, we got a gubernatorial race and they kind of went for blood. They took out Becky Clayfish. They trumped her ass. And this woman who had been running for governor for 4, 8, 12 years, effectively. I mean, her whole adult life, Rebecca Clayfish, had been positioning herself for this time in history. And then this outsider flies in from Connecticut, drops $50 million and beats her. A, it's got to be crushing to her soul. I feel bad for you, Becky, kind of. And B, there will be no reconciliation between the party. You know what I mean? The Becky Clayfish right. wing of this party is not exactly embracing the Tim Michaels Trump endorsing.
But wait, has she endorsed Evers yet?
No, I haven't heard that.
Not Evers, not yet.
But I have not heard any sort of clear endorsement from Clayfish for Michaels. And I don't think we will.
Let me ask you this. Do you know, can you explain to me? I heard something. I don't want to say anything just yet. I heard something. Do you know why Trump endorsed Michaels and not Clayfish?
Because the elder Clayfish daughter went to homecoming with Justice Brian Hagedorn's son. And Rebecca Clayfish had tweeted out the photo, "Hey, Justice Hagedorn, these kids clean up nice." Something of that sort. I paraphrase.
Exactly. I just heard it last week. I didn't realize that because I kept saying, why is this the case? And it's just nice to know that Trump really knows how to hate. And for just and for really important reasons. I mean, come on, a prom or a date. I mean, that matters, and it's, you know, just really quite wonderful. In fact, it's kind of amazing that he didn't necessarily try to find her an alternate date, at least.
Well, he probably thought he'd be dating her in 10 years, or at least he hoped for such a thing. My understanding, I know it's, I just saw the face made by Evan. My understanding is a lot of bad blood. And the fact that the Michaels campaign was circulating the photos of the Clayfish daughter went a little beyond attacking the candidate. There's some bad blood going on there. My understanding is there will be no reconciliation between the, you know, who knows, maybe Rantham will come out and endorse Michaels, but I don't think you're going to see Clayfish do so.
I haven't found it yet. What's the polling show regarding Evers and Michaels?
Do you know? the polling shows currently Evers up by about 2, the Marquette University Law School.
Just two.
Within the margin of error.
But Michael says his gut tells him he's up 5 to 10 points because Republican voters lied to the pollsters, and therefore he's got a healthy lead over Tony. His gut tells him that, even though Mandela's up 7 on Ron Johnson in the same polling.
Yeah, this will be interesting because, you know, you often think about the top position having coattails. And I've even wondered to what extent the coattails might reverse, you know? So candidates running for terms in the assembly or the Senate of the United States, if there's any chance of that kind of uplift.
Well, if you look at the numbers in 2018, Harvey, and it's an interesting question you pose, Tammy Baldwin, a very progressive lesbian, you know, candidate, doesn't seem like the perfect fit for the state of Wisconsin in this very purple state. But Tammy Baldwin crushed Dominic's girl, Leah Vukmer. I like to call her Nurse Ratchet. But Nurse Ratchet got beat by about 100,000+ votes. But Tony Evers only beat Scott Walker on the very same ballot and the very same day by about 31,000 votes. So the strangest thing about the 2018 election is there was 100,000 Scott Walker voters that also voted for Tammy Baldwin.
That's fascinating. I did not realize that. I hadn't thought of that.
I cannot see that playing out again in this race. Although, I mean, theoretically, if you've got Mandela Barnes and he's the U.S. Senate candidate, obviously the same scenario of you know, the Senate race being somewhat independent of the chief executive race here in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. But if Mandela's up 7 and Tony's in the margin of error, theoretically, Mandela could win the Senate race and we could have a Governor Michaels on the same ballot.
You know what? You just gave me an upset stomach.
Thanks, Crudy. He does that to me all the time, Harvey.
Oh, my God. You know, seriously speaking, I cannot believe we have come to this from the Republican Party. I mean, I should be able to believe it because Walker was so abysmal, truly abysmal. But this guy Michael seems to be, if it's possible, a step beyond even Walker. Okay. It's just astonishing to me. And, you know, people I remember in some elections previously, people talked about leaving the United States for Canada if Trump gets elected. I mean, seriously, I love the state of Wisconsin, but if we ended up with a Governor Michaels and this Republican controlled legislature, there's good reason to think about, I don't know, moving to Minnesota even. God, you know?
But we've already lived.
And I live in Green Bay, where the Packers are. So it would mean really a smack in the face that would just, oh, God.
You and my wife, Harvey, making these threats if there is a Governor Michaels. And I would say, God forbid, I don't want to see it happen, but God forbid that were to happen. We've already lived through that for 8 years. And I got a daughter who's 27 living on the West Coast. And I'm not clear if she wants to move home. You know what I mean? You think at some point they're going to. Kids are going to move home. They're going to want to raise kids here in the upper Midwest they grew up. And I am less convinced in a state where she would have no abortion rights, in a state where Republican governance could take us back to 1849. I don't know that my daughter would want to live in a state like that or my wife. But my fear is if all the good people move out of the state of Wisconsin, this state becomes further and further red in my once beloved Wisconsin. Descends into the governance of Tim Michaels and Robin Voss. Gotta fight, buddy.
You're making me feel guilty for even considering the possibility.
Come on, man. This is our state. I'm not going to leave it just because some jackasses get elected. We stay and we fight, Harvey. But I want to get Harvey K., our fine guest. I want to get your thoughts historically. You brought up, I can't believe we're dealing with the GOP, the Republican Party, which is now the mega party. Curdy drugged me to the last Trump rally in Waukesha, Harvey. And we heard Tim Michaels say, you know, the Republican Party was reborn in Trump Tower in 2016, right? And it made me think, well, first they murdered the original Republican Party, now this this is the mega party. But now we see how this continues to evolve, and they continue to, you know, defend this president as it gets worse and worse and worse for him. They're no longer the party of law and order, as Gertie mentioned with the abortion stuff. They want to take us back to the 1800s before women even had the right to vote and to, you know, determine for themselves what should happen to their body. Harvey, I mean, historically speaking, do you see this party continuing, or do you see it perhaps, you know, fading away and something else coming in?
Fading away, it's hard to see, because these folks are so committed. Okay, we used to call them for a while, a few years ago, like a cult, but that was being nice, actually. That was being nice, because really, I mean, we're talking about outright neo-fascism in many a case. Okay, I mean, Critty didn't even mention the fact that, Michaels is prepared to sell AR-15s to teenagers. I mean, you know, we'll have this image of that kid who came up from Illinois and started shooting people and killing people in southeastern Wisconsin. You can imagine all of a sudden kids who are just utterly fed up with the way things are for the future of a generation just letting loose. Seriously speaking, this state would be all the scarier. I mean, seriously speaking, consider the fact they've broken up the University of Wisconsin in many ways. It's not the university system it was, okay? They've taken away the collective bargaining rights of public employees, and we were the first state to truly accord such rights to public employees, public workers. They've basically, they're on the verge of truly banning a woman's right to choose, because right now, of course, we have an attorney general and a governor who said they won't apply the law that's on the books from the past. I mean, it's just a truly horrific kind of vision of what this state could become. You know, look, it's not like we've always been this politically innocent progressive state. We had Joe McCarthy after all, but Joe McCarthy, fortunately, was not the governor of Wisconsin. He was a U.S. senator. Okay, so I mean, seriously, I am afraid of what could happen, and I can't believe that this state will literally place in office Michaels over Evers. Though I know that there are parts of the state that have no affection, no love, and really do despise the very word Democrat.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Harvey Gay, our fine guest. Harvey, I have spent a lot of time this summer driving the state of Wisconsin, listening to all the AM radio stations. You're in a different market than we are. I hear Milwaukee, I hear Madison, and I see the commercials for Mandela Barnes, and I see the commercials for Tony Evers, but I hear the ads for Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels. This state is filthy with those ads all across the radio dial. I don't see the Democrats matching them on the talk radio, the country music, the airwaves. Harvey, I fear the same $15 million advertising buy that Michaels flew in and did over 90 days that helped him beat Rebecca Clayfish is going to be persuasive enough to help him win outstate by large enough margins. Dane County cannot possibly overvote enough to overcome margins outstate.
Yeah, no, seriously speaking, you know, there's one ad in particular. I don't need to recount it very much, but it opens up as if it's an ad for Mandela Barnes, and then they flip the switch, and you come to realize that they're using it to really rile up the Republican base, right? It's, you know, it's Mandela Barnes, it's the squad from the Congress, and all of a sudden, you know, it's Ron Johnson is going to save us from the socialists and their big spending. I mean, right? You know that one, I'm sure. And that one just angers me no end. But the question isn't about just those ads. The question is, where are the Democratic ads that will go for the jugular, period? Okay? Where are they? And that's what I want to see.
Or here on the radio. Harvey Kay, I know we're short.
Or there on the radio. Yeah. Hey, get him going. You bet. You bet.
Harvey.
Absolutely.
You got like 8 more minutes for us, buddy?
Sure, I'm with you.
I know you got other interviews. Misery
loves company, right?
Okay. More Harvey K., more misery, more company, and perhaps you as well on the phones. 844-967-2789.
know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Be sure to check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, and of course on the Facebooks at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dominic, the finest of guests. We've got Dr. Harvey Kaye, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Harvey, you often come calling with a populist message. Do you think the Democrats ever hear it? I mean, I like the way Mandela Barnes is talking about the fact that, you know, he knows the price of a gallon of milk. But I was out at the Trump rally and I did meet a guy in the line. And this guy told me he was a union iron worker. And he basically said that Republicans are becoming the party of the working stiff. And I said, Republican union? That doesn't seem to go together. You know, the Republicans are so anti-union, right to work. I mean, hell, even Michaels is running away from his own corporation's prior advocacy for unions. So, Harvey, are we lost without a galvanizing populist message as Democrats?
Yes. And you're right. It is the one thing that's been missing from the Democratic Party nationally and in the state of Wisconsin is that populist message. I mean, look, to be honest, I mean, I'm very glad we have a candidate like Mandela Barnes now, you know, running for the U.S. Senate. But it is the case that there really was not the kind of campaign until now that Mandela Barnes could have run. I mean, look, people out in northern and western Wisconsin, farmers included, want to hear a message that tells them that their areas matter, their regions matter, that there's reason to believe that Democrats will respond to the need for investment, increased wages, et cetera. But especially, I think it's imperative that the Democrats get out there, and we have time for this, that they get out there with ads that say, think about the last 30 years, 40 years, think about the degree to which you have seen this go and this go and this go. And then you lay them all out in terms of living standards, the price of higher education, the quality of education, all of that. And ask yourself who is responsible. And then lay out the Walker years, okay, and the threat of something like that again. Let him even apologize. It's about time we become the party of working people. Because you're right. Workers have moved away from the Democratic Party. I don't believe they're at all necessarily committed to Republicans, but they don't necessarily see reason to become Democrats with a capital D once again. That's what the Democrats have not been doing. Honestly, I don't even think I've seen an ad for Evers at all up here. And I can't tell you, I watch a lot of, you know, mainstream TV, but I don't think I've seen an Evers ad. I'm on YouTube a lot. I mean, it's flooded with Johnson ads and Michaels ads.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Harvey Kaye. He is a professor emeritus at UWGB joining us. Harvey, it's always fun, man. What's your take on, you know, the Republicans are certainly going to talk about policy. They're going to try to ignore the insurrection and the attempted coup on this country. And they're going to go after these, you know, culture war issues, right? Transgender, LGBT rights, you know, gay marriage, all, you know, that kind of Roe v. Wade. These are all the issues that they can think they can divide Americans on. How effective do you think that Republicans have been on those issues so far? And what do you think the Dems can do to, you know, kind of push back on that and, you know, negate the push that they have?
Honestly, the reason the Republicans have been so successful with the culture buttons, you might say, is because the Democrats gave up the economic populist message that made them the majority party. Okay. In other words, it's the fact that if the Democrats are no longer the populist party, the party of the people, then most working people are going to be independent minded. And if nobody is talking to their real material needs and aspirations, they'll respond to cultural kinds of things. You know, it's like I once mentioned this here. Back in the 1970s, where all this began, they went at the Republicans in unison with big business, went after labor unions. even more than at that time than they went after anything like women's rights or the rights of people of color. Their first and primary target was labor unions. Now, when the Democrats failed to rise to the occasion and defend unions aggressively, I think especially of the likes of Jimmy Carter, what happened? Well, if you can't vote for your wages and you can't in solidarity fight for your wages, what you're going to do is you're going to vote for the guy who promises to lower your taxes, even if he'll lower the taxes of the rich more. In other words, you will defend your wallet in hopes you might get some tax money back since you can't get improved wages. And keep in mind, the working class has not seen a rise in their real wages and standard of living since the 1970s. So if the Democrats are not going to fight in those terms, you'll vote for somebody who'll give you a tax, even if it's pennies. You'll vote just to get those pennies back. Okay. So what about this election run? Well, I actually have not seen cultural issues as the thing Republicans are using. They're using the Johnson ads are all about inflation, spending and inflation. And the Democrats have got to respond by moving the subject back to these are the kinds of things that working people need. These are the kinds of things we intend to pursue. Okay, period. I think I've spoken before here about an economic bill of rights, guaranteed jobs with living wages. Okay, healthcare. I mean, these are the kinds of questions that have been on the agenda here in Wisconsin for years, but have been pushed aside as a consequence of the Walker years.
Harvey, most recently, threats to democracy have overtaken cost of living as the voters' top issue for this country. Do you think that's one that the Democrats should be going for the jugular on, as you expressed?
Absolutely. Look, 40 years ago, back in 2017 when Trump won the presidency, I wrote a piece. Basically, it was about what I called creeping authoritarianism, that beginning in the late 1970s, the Republicans and big business declared war on the democratic achievements of the 1930s and the 1960s. And that war has been pursued for 45 years now. And unfortunately, the Democrats, led by Clinton, originally Carter, went along with that war, you might say, on working people's democratic rights. Look, Democrats should go after that. They should play over and over again the January 6th tape and say, these are the folks who believe that this is how we operate a democracy. This is Wisconsin. This is a great state of Wisconsin. And all the rights that we've won need to be restored. And the Democrats need to make sure that they identify with the redemption and renewal and enhancement of democracy. And that includes industrial democracy, the right of workers to organize and bargain collectively.
I got one last question for you, Dr. Harvey Kay. Yes or no answer. Should Aaron Rodgers play in the preseason against the Chiefs?
This Friday night against the Chiefs. Here's the thing. Maybe love wants revenge. How's that?
I like it. Dr. Harvey Kay, thank you so much for joining us. Come back with
us. Thank you.
Hour two of the Devil's Advocates is next.
Thanks, Harvey.
But I cannot emphasize that there must be no violence.
Oh, we're going to go get a weapon, everybody.
Everybody's doing it.